The history of math is our intellectual foundation to understanding science. Science, beautiful, awesome, wonderful science. It's the creative foundation to our ineffable future. Hi, I'm Gabrielle Burchak, and this is my podcast, Math, Science, History. In the year 415, the infamous philosopher and mathematician Hypatia of Alexandria, Egypt, was savagely murdered by church monks. This murder shocked the Roman community and its government leaders. Hypatia was known far and wide as a respected philosopher, mathematician, government advisor, and a professor. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, is a book that I wrote that looks not just at the circumstances surrounding her death, but also at the sum of her entire life. I weave in the details of her education, disciples, Neoplatonic philosophies, female contemporaries, and the many mathematics that she wrote and taught about. There is truly more to Hypatia's life than her death. Hypatia, The Sum of Her Life, written by me, Gabrielle Burchak, is now on sale on Amazon. Buy your copy today. If you are listening to this podcast on October 29th, then let's celebrate! This podcast would not have been possible without the internet. Today is the 50th anniversary of the birth of the internet. The birth of the internet. Thanks to the internet, you now get to hear my voice once a week and you don't have to go to the library. Unless you want to, which is what I would probably do. Also, you can go to Google or Bing and ask it a question and boom, get an answer. Or you could just yell, "Hey Siri, how long is a short circuit?" You can play Chinese checkers or Overwatch until 4 in the morning, even though you have to go to work in an hour. You can buy Dixie cups 3 days before you run out and have them delivered 2 days before you need them. The only thing you can't do, as far as I'm aware of, is taste food. With the internet, the potential is limitless. We live in a wonderful age. Its inception was brilliant. It all began with Robert Taylor, who worked for the Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as ARPA. ARPA was at the Pentagon, and Taylor was frustrated because he had to communicate with three different computer terminals, which were not small by any means. Each terminal was connected to a different part of the country, but he was frustrated because he got tired of walking from one terminal to the next terminal to the next terminal to simply send the same message to three different places. So, he had an idea. His idea was to build a network that allowed him to send one message to three parts of the United States. And so he reached out to UCLA and Stanford to see what they could make. He also reached out to IBM and AT&T. However, IBM and AT&T passed on bidding for this project because they believed that it couldn't be done. And so, Taylor reached out to a small company by the name of Bolt, Baranek, and Newman, now known as Raytheon BBN Technologies, who took on the challenge. BBN built four interface message processors, also known as IMPs, that were each the size of a gym locker. The first one went to Dr. Kleinrock's team at UCLA and was delivered on August 30, 1969. The second went to Dr. Douglas Engelbart's team at Stanford in October. The third went to UC Santa Barbara in November. And the fourth went to the University of Utah in December 1969. This was the beginning of an exciting new future. There was no date set when UCLA and Stanford would communicate with each other. They had been trying things out, but decided on this random Wednesday to try to get the two IMPs to communicate with each other. So, 50 years ago today, on October 29th, 1969, at 9:30 p.m., Charlie Klein, a student of Dr. Leonard Kleinrock, and Bill Duvall, a fellow programmer at Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park, got to work. There, in room 3420 of Boulter Hall at UCLA, Klein typed out an L. Over the phone, Duvall confirmed, yes, he received the L. Then Klein typed out O. Duval confirmed, yes, he received it. Then Klein typed out G, and the system crashed. So the first word ever shared on this new internet was low. The greatest word that set our future in motion, low. Lo and behold, the internet. So the system crashed, but that didn't stop them. They kept on working at it, and an hour later at 10:30 p.m., they got it to work. Klein transmitted the letters L-O-G-I-N, login, and that was the day the internet was born. Only then it was referred to as ARPANET. This procedure of sending data was made possible through a process called packet switching, where data is broken down into smaller parts. These small packets are then routed from the source to the destination through adapters, switches, routers, and nodes, and then reassembled. This concept took off, and the rest, as the I love to say, is history. And it unfolded like this. In 1971, the first email was sent over ARPANET. In 1973, ARPANET went international in England and Norway. In 1983, though the internet was originally called CateNet, it had evolved to the term Internet, which was short for Internet Working. 1983, domain names were proposed. 1984, that system of domain names consisted of suffixes such as .com, .gov, .edu, and .org. 1988, the first internet worm, Morris, infects thousands of computers, and it figures that it would be named after a cat, because that's kind of what the internet, I think, is about. 1989, AOL introduces an online service. 1990, Tim Berners-Lee creates WWW, the World Wide Web, in an effort to control computers remotely at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, also known as CERN. 1993, the first web browser, Mosaic, combines graphics and text. 1994, the first ever web banner. Also in 1994, Netscape and Yahoo! 1995, the first ever item is sold on eBay, which was a broken laser pointer. Also in 1995, Amazon.com. 1996, the dancing baby. 1997, Netflix. 1998, Google is founded. 1999, Napster. 2000, the internet surpassed 250 million users. In 2000, the dot-com bubble burst. 2001, Wikipedia. 2002, Friendster. Who remembers that one? 2003, LinkedIn, WordPress. 2004, Zuckerberg starts Facebook at Harvard. 2005, YouTube, Reddit. 2006, the internet surpasses 1 billion users. Oh, and Twitter. Also in 2006, the Internet Governance Forum meets for the first time. 2007, iPhone. Now more people can get online. 2008, Netscape is taken down, leaving room for Firefox to develop. 2009, the Seattle Post-Intelliger becomes the first daily paper to move entirely online. Also in 2009, Google introduces their free computer operating system for users to operate entirely online. In 2010, Instagram and Pinterest. 2011, international communication on Twitter and Facebook take part in the Middle East revolts. 2013, Edward Snowden exposes the NSA's monitoring of innocent U.S. citizens. 2016, Google Assistant. And finally, here we are, approaching 2020. We now live in an age where societies have the capacity to be extensively enlightened and intellectually aware. Now, thanks to the internet, we have the ability to fully understand how far we've come and how far we have to go. Thanks to the internet, we now have the capacity and the ability to understand society as a whole and to understand how much more we can do. There's a lot to be said for enlightenment. The internet is one key moment in our history of powerful enlightenments. From the European Enlightenment that started with Isaac Newton's Principia Mathematica in the 17th century to the American Enlightenment that started with Colonel Agent Jeremiah Dummer's donation of Enlightenment books to a small college called Yale in the early 18th century, these new ideas, philosophies, and sciences took hold of the world. For about 200 years, this Enlightenment altered our government and forged a wonderful path for widespread insight. Brilliance was being shared in the name of Francis Bacon, Mary Wollstonecraft, John Locke, Emily du Châtelet, Isaac Newton, Catherine Macaulay, Nicholas Copernicus, Louise d'Epinay, Alexander Pope, Marie Lavoisier, William Shakespeare, and Sophie Germain. This knowledge gave people hope and power. The Enlightenment around the world created a surge in the arts, the sciences, philosophy, literature, and more. And it gave us a universal capacity for worldwide compassion and empathy. The world changed then, as much as it did on October 29th, 1969, when the internet was born. The seed was planted. Communication changed forever. We now have the ability to communicate around the world in an instant. We now have tools at our fingertips to impress upon world leaders the importance of peace. We now have the ability to share knowledge, scientific progress, mathematical developments, sociological insights, medical advice, thoughts, emotions, love. It's more than just packet switching. As much as we might feel otherwise, the internet helped to rebuild mankind. So on this day, as you hear my voice over the internet, let's do one thing to celebrate this tremendous accomplishment that we have done. Go on the internet, and wherever you are, whatever platform you are on, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, you name it, go there and share your knowledge and share your compassion. Go online and partake in this wonderful world that allows us to share our intellect and our kindness. So here we are on this wild ride, the internet. It has been nothing but an honor to be on this platform with you. For me personally, for all that I've put on the internet, I just want to say thank you to every person who's been along with me for the ride. From my time at NASA to my time as a comedic pundit, to this podcast talking about the glory of math, science, and history. I am so honored to be part of this platform called the internet. For those who are listening, thank you for listening and thank you for being part of this glorious adventure called humanity. The connection that we've all received from the internet has been so astounding. From trending events to viral videos, from pictures of cats to singing dogs, from protests to crowdfunding, from the gathering of an international community to the searching of exoplanets, the internet has brought the inconceivable together. We've come so far. We have all shared so much. We have grown so much as a society, and we've learned so much about each other. For all that this internet adventure has done, it has planted the seeds of faith in humanity. I look forward to the next 50 years on the internet. I truly cannot wait to see how far we go, to see where we go as a society, how much we will grow, what challenges we will face together, and what we can accomplish. I'm Gabrielle Burchak. This podcast has been brought to you by Caffeine, delicious, wonderful nectar of the gods, caffeine, coffee, tea, coffee candy, you name it, I love it. Thank you for listening to Math Science History. If you are interested in reading more about the history of math and science, please come visit me at mathsciencehistory.com. And while you are there, if you like what you're listening to, please feel free to click on that coffee button and buy me a cup of coffee. Until next week, carpe diem.